A lot of points influencers suggest earning points by paying for something for a friend and having them reimburse you. But what if they don't pay you back? With Grabber, you help shoppers from Latin America buy U.S. products, earn your points, and you'll get reimbursed and paid for delivering them on a trip. Shoppers pay upfront when they accept your delivery offers, so you are guaranteed to get paid. Check out our show notes for a link to Grabber, or go to grabr.io. Thank you to Grabber for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If you love flying but also want to help preserve the world that we enjoy exploring so much, check out App in the Air. Their app makes it easy to track your carbon footprint and buy offsets to become a carbon neutral traveler, which is actually much cheaper than I expected it to be. Also, if you buy the offset when you purchase your flights through the app's booking feature, all of it codes as a travel purchase. Cheers to earning extra points by helping the earth. Check out the app for free by using the link in the show notes and get 20% off of your next flight when you book directly through App in the Air by using the code GeoBreeze at checkout. Thank you to App in the Air for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
We've taken our family to Disneyland twice now and paid for the whole thing using points, miles, or money from Airbnb, which I can talk about separately in a second. But basically, the first time we went, I think I mentioned we used City Thank You points. And that's kind of the go-to best lucrative way to buy Disneyland tickets is to open the City Premier cards and then purchase your Disneyland tickets through their travel agency connections. So we did our tickets with that. That's how we did our tickets the first trip. And like I said, we opened Marriott cards and stayed in a Marriott. And we did fly down on Alaska miles. The flights between Portland and Orange County Airport on Alaska are just really, really cheap. And so, again, that's where our Alaska miles accumulated their work has really helped us, both Disneyland trips.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Samantha Holland of Almost Free Traveling. Samantha loves using points and miles to travel to Disney parks and beyond, all while on a nonprofit salary. In this episode, Samantha and I discuss a highly requested topic, how to take cruises, especially Disney cruises, on points and miles. One of the strategies Samantha discusses in this episode is using city points to wipe the cost of your cruise off of your statement credits. My favorite city card is the City Premier, which comes with a variety of great perks, including the ability to transfer points to Turkish Miles and Smiles, where you can book flights to anywhere in the U.S., including Alaska and Hawaii, for only 7,500 points per person one way. It is a great card to have, especially for families who are looking to save on domestic travel. If you are interested in applying for the City Premier card to save on Disney tickets and/or flights, be sure to use a friend or creator's referral links. If you would like to support this show when you open your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards, which is linked for you in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Hey, Samantha, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hi, Julia. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I am so excited to have you here. And I know a lot of people have called in or written in asking about cruises and how you can possibly do that on points. So excited to cover that today, as well as how do you do this on a nonprofit salary. Before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Yeah, well, like you said, for many years, my husband and I were both working in the nonprofit sector and raising three kids. And so not a lot of disposable income, but there were things we wanted to do. I wanted to take the kids to Disneyland. My husband was running and qualifying for marathons in other countries. And so I started searching up how to travel for free. And that's kind of how I stumbled into credit card points and miles. And the rest is history.
What were some of the first sources that you used early on in your journey?
Yeah, the first sources, I think, were like a Barclay arrival card or kind of, I call them the erasable cards or the statement credit cards. And the reason I started with those is because we were trying to get to the Berlin Marathon and I wanted to book Airbnbs. And so I started with statement credit cards. And then, you know, I wouldn't do it the same way again going back, but I like to just encourage people, it's okay to make mistakes. We're all on a credit card journey together. So I've learned a lot since then, for sure.
So after you did like some of the purchase eraser ones, like Capital One Venture was a popular one back in the day. What were some of the cards that you moved on to after that?
Well, definitely one of the first, after I did a little research, was the Sapphire Preferred, so we could get into Chase Ultimate Rewards. And then eventually upgrading the Preferred to the Reserve, which has been our primary travel card. We have a Priority Pass restaurant in our home airport here in Portland, Oregon. And so the Reserve has been kind of an awesome card for earning and just actually for a lot of different reasons. The Global Entry Credit, we pretty much max out and beyond all the credits on that card.
So there's generally like two paths people take when they get into this hobby. There's the, I'm going to get one credit card at a time, move really slowly. And then there's the whole like, oh my God, I get to travel for free. Let's open 15 cards. Which path were you and your family?
I don't know how anyone opens multiple at a time. I guess I'm not there in my journey yet. We're definitely open one card at a time, put all of our regular spending on it. Sometimes have a big expense that comes up, like a home repair or a medical expense, and put that on a credit card so we're hitting minimum spends faster. But we have always been one card at a time type people. If there's, I don't know how to do it the other way. So you educate me. How would someone open a whole bunch of cards at once? I guess I just don't spend as much money as some people.
Yeah. So there's lots of different ways that people will meet their minimum spend pretty quickly. If they're opening one card every couple months, or like them and their spouse and maybe an 18-year-old child are all opening cards at the same time. One of the most popular ways is if you can just find somebody who has something to buy and they're not into the credit card game, where you say, hey, can I just pay for this kitchen remodel for you, put it on my credit card, and you write me a check or Venmo me back? That's one of the easiest ways, is just to find people like that. I know a lot of people will meet minimum spends by putting work stuff on there if you have to travel a lot for work and you're getting reimbursed anyway. But anything where you're going to get reimbursed for putting the spend on your card is an excellent way to go. Which brings us to my next question. Since you and your husband both work in the nonprofit sector, what has been your method of meeting these minimum spends? Because I know when people think nonprofit work, we just don't have that much of a budget to be putting all of this cash flow onto our cards. So what's been your strategy around that?
Yeah, well, I think that the perception might be that if you work in the nonprofit sector, you have zero money. But that's not true. I mean, we don't have high salaries, but we have salaries and we have three kids and we live outside Portland, Oregon. So we do, believe it or not, have enough expenses. I mean, we definitely spend $3,000 or $4,000 every 3 months, which is pretty much all you need for regular spending in order to hit minimum spends. But that was something we really looked into in the beginning because we weren't sure. You can't pay your mortgage on a credit card. So there are certain expenses you can't. And so we just really priced it out at the beginning, looked at our budget. How much do we spend? Is this going to be something that's feasible for us? And I think for my husband, he was really apprehensive to get into this. He was sort of like, what is this that you're talking about? But he had started following the points guy and some other credit card accounts. And so he kind of agreed to take this risk and try it out. And now, because it's allowed him to have this awesome marathon hobby all over the world, he's very into it. And he's asking, oh, what card are we opening next? That's fun.
What was the first trip that you guys took with redeeming points that was kind of the aha moment for your family of, oh, I think we can make this work. This makes travel so much more affordable.
Absolutely. So I have two. And let me just say, we are not luxury travelers. So we like to stretch our points just like we stretch our dollars. And so the dollar amounts of our hack trips aren't astounding or anything like that. But I think that's what I love about travel hacking. It's for you to do what you want to do. And it's about you going where you want to go. And so I think for me, our first free Disneyland trip in 2019 was huge because that's why I got into it in the first place. We opened Marriott cards. We stayed at a Spring Hill Suites. We opened City Premier cards. We used thank you points to buy our tickets. We flew down on Alaska Miles. So, I mean, it was maybe a $5,000 trip max, but it was priceless to me because it's what I wanted to do and it was practically free. And then for sure for my husband, it was the trip we did in 2018. And that was really our first trip that we did on points and miles. And it was so we could go to the Berlin Marathon and my husband could run in it. And it was just a really memorable time for us. He set a personal best. He ran like I think it was 2 hours and 42. I mean, he's really fast. So he set a personal best, and it was Eliud Kipchoge, I think, was setting the world record that day. And we took family and friends with us. So for him, the fact that we could do that with points and miles, that's kind of what convinced him, like, okay, we should make this part of our lifestyle. And, you know, on the way back from that trip, we flew over on British Air using Alaska Miles. And we took advantage of the free stopover on the way back and stopped in Iceland for 2 nights. And that was just kind of, for anyone who loves the outdoors like we do, that's like a bucket list type trip to do. So going to the Blue Lagoon and driving the Golden Circle, those are kind of some of the first points and miles doors that open for us.
How did you earn enough Alaska miles for this? Because Alaska miles can sometimes be difficult to earn.
Yeah, so this is an important part of our story, and it helps. This is probably the missing piece to the puzzle. So with our jobs in the nonprofit sector, we started traveling for work. And we live in the Pacific Northwest, so we're kind of in a unique situation where Alaska is the best choice airline for us. We don't have Southwest cards. We don't fly Southwest. It's Alaska all the way. And so I started playing the points and miles credit card game at the same time that we were accruing Alaska miles through a lot of work travel. So that is really the way that our jobs, like a lot of people, gave us a little bit of a jump start. So we stuck with Alaska. We opened the cards. We put all of our flights on those cards. And then we just try to fly Alaska partners as much as possible. We recently opened American Airlines cards too, because now they're part of the same alliance. And so the points are interchangeable between those two.
Where were you flying to with Alaska? Was it a lot of just like up and down the West Coast, Seattle, California? Or where were you going for work to earn all of these different miles?
The majority of it was our headquarters are in Orlando, Florida. And Alaska opened a nonstop flight between Portland and Orlando. So, I mean, that's one of the longest domestic flights in existence, I'd imagine. So that racked up a lot of points for us.
That is a long, long flight.
Yes.
7 hours? How long does that take?
It's not quite seven. And, you know, I can't remember if it's faster going east or west, but it's either 5 or 6.
Okay. Because I was just thinking of a flight I took from New Jersey to Las Vegas. I'm like, oh my God, that's even longer. All right, cool. So you guys were able to take this fantastic trip to Germany on Alaska points. Is that how you do most of the international trips for marathons, is with Alaska, or do you do different types of currencies?
I think that when we did the Tokyo Marathon in 2019, we used Chase Ultimate Rewards for a hotel, but I think that we actually paid for our tickets on Japanese Air. Is that Japan Air? Yeah, I think it was Japan Air. And that's just what you learn as you start hacking, is you're not always going to use points or have the points that you need. And so you just do the best you can. In that case, it was actually pay cash on a credit card that maybe we were trying to hit a minimum spend, or I'm not sure what card we put that flight on. But in that case, no, we didn't use Alaska Miles. The majority of our flying is with Alaska Miles through Alaska Partners or on Alaska.
Sounds good. For anybody who's not very familiar with the Alaska program, what are some different tips and tricks and perks that you get from being a frequent flyer on Alaska? Do you guys have MVP status or anything like that? What are your favorite parts of the program?
Okay, so this, again, I should have my husband on the show because this is his specialty. He does have status. I think he's MVP gold, and that does give us a lot of protection. So I think that we can change flights, cancel flights. There's obviously a lot of upgrades involved when we're flying. Because we have the Alaska cards, we have the Alaska Companion Pass, which is not quite as lucrative as the Southwest Companion Pass, but it does give us one companion pass a year per card. And it's great to use for West Coasters to use for maybe a trip to Mexico or a trip to Hawaii. Those higher priced tickets, that companion pass, I think it's around $99 for your second flight.
So the way that it works is you'll buy one normal price ticket and then somebody can fly with you for $99. Is that how
That's
it works?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. What are some places that you've been able to use this where you're like, oh, we saved a lot of money by using a companion pass fare with Alaska?
We use it annually to go to either Mexico or Hawaii on a couple's trip. And it saves, I mean, that ticket is usually between $500 and $1,000. So it saves us between $400 and $900 to use that companion pass.
That is a really, really good use of that perk. If you are listening to this episode thinking, I wish I could travel like this, but I don't know where to start, I offer free credit card consultations by email at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. Additionally, I host a masterclass and group coaching session each month. You can find the links to sign up for the consultations, monthly masterclasses, and Patreon, which gets you access to the masterclasses and also recordings of all past events, in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout-out goes out to Sylvia. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. And so you mentioned you're a really big fan of Disney trips as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's your strategy for doing family trips on Disney? Are you doing that with Alaska Companion Fare, using Chase Ultimate Rewards, some other combination of points? What's your go-to?
Yeah, so we've taken our family to Disneyland twice now and paid for the whole thing using points, miles, or money from Airbnb, which I can talk about separately in a second. But basically, the first time we went, I think I mentioned we used City Thank You points. And that's kind of the go-to best lucrative way to buy Disneyland tickets is to open the City Premier cards and then purchase your Disneyland tickets through their travel agency connections. So we did our tickets with that. That's how we did our tickets the first trip. And like I said, we opened Marriott cards and stayed in a Marriott. And we did fly down on Alaska miles. The flights between Portland and Orange County Airport on Alaska are just really, really cheap. And so again, that's where our Alaska miles accumulated their work has really helped us, both Disneyland trips. The second Disneyland trip, we went on our annual camping trip in 2020, and we rent out our house on Airbnb. So since 2016 and since moving into the home we're in now, we've made about $25,000 renting out our primary residence a few weeks a year. So that's one of our biggest travel hacks and has really funded a lot of what we've done, along with putting money back into the house, et cetera. But that's how I earned the money to buy Disneyland tickets. I just earmarked that cash. This is for our Disney trip. And then hotel this year was a Home 2 Suites by Hilton. And we opened Hilton Surpass cards to earn the points for that.
Awesome. That is a really good combo of different tricks. And I know a lot of people are a little bit wary to like list their home on Airbnb, like, oh, what if somebody just like comes in and rummages through all of our stuff? But that can be an awesome way to earn some extra cash to fund vacations. Can you talk about just the mindset of, okay, we're going to list our home on Airbnb while we go camping for a couple of weeks? What are some of the major just like hurdles and challenges, and how do you address that?
I mean, it's a great question, and I've had this conversation lots. And again, if you put yourself in that mindset where we're both in nonprofit careers, and so not a lot of disposable income. And so I was always thinking about how can we maximize every dollar? How can we leverage every asset? For a long time, we were renting a house. We barely sold our house in 2008 when everything crashed. We rented a house for 5 years, loved it. We're kind of didn't want to buy a house again. And then we're forced out of our rental in 2016 and couldn't afford to rent because then rents were high. So part of what we were thinking about when we purchased this house was having it be Airbnb accessible. And so we were thinking from the moment we moved in, how can we live as minimalists? How can we have a house that's inviting and clean and streamlined for guests? And that, I mean, there's a few things I really like about it. One is just that I know I'm leveraging my biggest asset. I love knowing that someone's using my home when I'm not here. You know, we for many years would travel every other summer to Colorado for a big national staff conference, and we'd be gone for 6 weeks. And it's actually not good for a house to sit empty for 6 weeks for a lot of reasons. So I understand people have concerns. I totally get that about renting out their primary residence. But I feel like Airbnb has set their platform up in a way that is that protects renters. I list our house specifically targeting who I want to stay in our house. I list it as a family house on a quiet cul-de-sac. I indicate that no parties are allowed. I list a fine for any noise complaints. And then I talk to people when they want to rent our house. I want to make sure it's a good fit for them. I mean, if they want to have a loud, wild party, they can, but it's not going to be a good fit for them to have it at our home. And so I feel like there's kind of a mutual screening process that happens that I'm very intentional about. And that's just part of the way that we've protected our home and ourselves and other people in the process. And we honestly have had 99% really good experiences. I highly recommend Airbnb.
Awesome. And so you just do this for 6 weeks out of the year, and then the rest of the time your family is living in the primary home?
So we aren't on that schedule anymore of having that conference to go to, but that was initially why we really wanted to rent our house out. Now what we do is if we book a vacation, then we list our house. Sometimes it rents, sometimes it doesn't. If we have flexible weeks coming up where we could go somewhere, like this, you know, the week between Christmas and New Year's, spring break, things like that, we list the house. And then if it rents, we'll go somewhere. If it doesn't, we stay home. So we try to just be flexible, spontaneous, see what comes up. There have been times where I've just listed the house open for the whole summer to see what happens. I stopped doing that because it was booking so fast that I couldn't even keep up and so far in advance that I didn't know exactly what we would be doing at that time. So it kind of depends on the life stage that we're in and what's going on with our family. We switch it up year to year.
Do you have a property manager, or who takes care of like the turnover if multiple families are staying in there while you're gone?
That's a really important question. And that was one of the first lessons I learned, was that I needed to have a whole crew of people, backup people, first call people that would be property managers. And so we kind of have a whole mix. We have a couple different cleaners that we have relationships with, and depending on what their schedules are, one or more of them will come. And then we have good relationships with our neighbors, and so we're on board. They're on board with us. If something goes wrong, we have a handyman that we can call if something goes wrong in the house. But yeah, it's a whole bunch of different people that are in on it. And we really wanted, because we live on a quiet cul-de-sac and have relationships with our neighbors and want to be good neighbors, we brought them into the process so that, you know, if something goes wrong, they can call us. If we need something, we've had neighbors run over. And yeah, so it takes all of our relationships to run this Airbnb.
Nice. Well, that is such a good way to fund all of these different vacations too, because I know some people are like, yeah, Disney tickets are difficult to like travel hack sometimes because you can't just, I mean, you could pay for them with points, but it's not always the best redemption. So just finding another way to earn a cash flow to offset this is a great thing to do. I know that another thing that people often ask about where it's really hard to find points redemption that's worth it is when they want to go on family cruises. Has your family ever done anything like that? Or do you have any tips and tricks for how to do that kind of offset aside from rent your house on Airbnb and that money will pay for the cruise?
Well, our family has not been on a cruise. I have been on an Alaskan cruise, and I just want to give it a shout out because it's one of the highlights of traveling that I've done is going with my mom on an Alaskan cruise. And I have not figured out how to point hack that. When I do, I'll put it on my blog. But as far as family cruises, even though we haven't been on one, it's a dream for so many and for a lot of my followers. And so I wrote a blog post researching and reviewing how to book a Disney cruise using credit card points. Now, the cost of a Disney cruise can vary wildly, anywhere between $1,500 to $5,000, depending on when you go, how many nights you cruise, where you cruise, how many people are cruising with you. So the first thing to do is just look on Disney's site at all the options, and that will give you a cost estimate. Now, as I researched, I found there's a few ways that you could book a cruise, and you kind of alluded to this, but you probably don't want to because it's not the best redemption value for your points. You can redeem Marriott Bonvoy points for a cruise, but starting at 63,000 points, which only gives you a $250 cruise credit. So that's not the best Marriott point redemption. You could also book a cruise with United Miles through Disney's cruise site. But again, just trust me, you probably don't want to do that. It's not a great redemption value. I did find that just like Disneyland tickets, you could book a cruise with your City Thank You points through their Connections Travel Agency. And it is a pretty good, it's 1 cent a piece for some cardholders. I'm guessing the Premier cardholders. So that is one way that just like Disneyland tickets, you could open City Premier cards and use your bonus points to book, I guess, a $1,600 cruise or less. But most credit card bonuses won't cover an entire Disney cruise. So you could pay for your cruise in payments to a third party. And I think that's a really creative way to hack it. I talk about this in my blog post, but when it comes to booking Disney cruises or tickets, I always recommend booking through a third party like Getaway Today or Undercover Tourist. One reason is we just love supporting small businesses and think that's a great way to go. But they also typically offer discounted rates, refunds, and by booking through them, you ensure that your cruise will code as travel, which matters on some of these credit cards.
That's a really, really important point, is to make sure that it codes as travel. Because if you buy it just straight out from Disney for whatever reason, it codes as entertainment, right? Like as if you bought a Broadway ticket or something, it doesn't actually code as travel, even though you're going on a cruise. But if you buy it through a travel agent, you're supporting a small business and it codes as travel. So you get a lot more points depending on what credit card you're using. That's an excellent point.
Absolutely. I'm really glad that you drew that out because I mean, there's just so many reasons to go through a small business, but that is a major one. You want to make sure that you're going to be able to use your points or your statement credit or whatever to erase that charge. So I contacted Getaway Today and just asked them, you know, do you finance cruises? And they said, yes, you can pay a 20% deposit, and then they'll take payments until a deadline of 60 to 120 days before sailing. So this means that well in advance, you could price out your cruise, call Getaway Today, and put a 20% down payment on a credit card for which you can then use the bonus for a statement credit, and then periodically open another card, make another payment, and then erase that card. with your bonus. So in the blog post, I list out lots of different ways that you could do this with different cards. So there's a few different cards that are these erasable type that I love that are super flexible. So, I mean, the obvious one that everyone's opening right now is the Capital One Venture X, because $10,000 in 6 months earns you basically $1,000 towards your cruise. And there's lots of other sign-up bonuses right now, too, with that card. The $300 travel credit if you book something through their portal, $200 Airbnb credit, which maybe you need to stay in an Airbnb overnight before your cruise leaves. So that is a really lucrative one that someone could use to make a $1,000 payment on a cruise. If you have another adult family member that could also open a Venture X, then you have $2,000 towards your cruise. So that is an obvious one. There's also just the regular Capital One Venture card that you can put a payment towards the cruise on that card, use the bonus points for a statement credit. You could do the same thing with the Bank of America Premium Rewards card. You could trigger your Chase Sapphire Reserve travel credit, $300, by making a payment. So it kind of depends on the price of the cruise, how this process is going to go. But I think that if we get creative, you really could end up paying for your entire cruise making payments on these erasable cards.
This is a fantastic travel hack. So to summarize, go with a travel agent. Like what was the name of it? Getaway Today?
Mm-hmm. Getaway Today or Undercover Tourist is another.
Okay. So you sign up with one of them, opt for the financing payment. Do you have to pay extra by doing financing? Are you going to end up paying a lot more in the end by doing this?
You know, I wish that I had asked them that question, Julia. I don't know. In some cases, it might be worth it to pay. I mean, if you're going to get in the end, get the cruise paid for with all your statement credits, it might be worth a financing charge. Your mileage may vary, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're earning 10 cents to the dollar by using a new introductory bonus to pay for a financing payment, and you have to pay an extra 5%, then you might just need to do the math and it'll work out. Okay, so then you split it up into finance payments. Can you choose how much each payment is after the initial 20%, where you say, I would like to make a $3,000 payment today, I would like to make a $2,000 payment today, or are you scheduled and locked in with certain payments at certain times?
When I communicated with them, the only things that they said were fixed are the 20% down payment and then that they allow payments until a deadline of 60 to 120 days before sailing. So it sounds like they're very flexible with how you set up the payment. They just really want that deposit and they want the whole thing paid for by a certain date.
That's awesome. So then you can just open however many cards you want in between that time frame, meet the minimum spend, pay down your cruise slowly that way, and then just make sure that it's paid all the way down by that final deadline.
The aspect I really like about it is that, of course, on a cruise, your food is also included. And so this is truly a free vacation. Unlike, you know, Disneyland, when I say I'm going to Disneyland for free, I'm spending money in the parks and there's no way to travel hack that, really. But with a cruise, it's all inclusive. So you really are paying for the whole thing with credit card bonuses.
That's awesome. And even if you're like, well, I don't like the Capital One ones, or like we just kept getting turned down by Citi for whatever reason. Even if you're using this for other credit cards, like just a normal Chase Sapphire or something, you'll earn your sign-up bonus there and you can use that towards the flights, towards the cruise port or something. So if you're meeting a minimum bonus by making these payments, that is a fantastic way to fund your vacation.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of the trips that we take are not fully paid for by points and miles. You know, sometimes we're using Alaska miles that we had through work to fly somewhere and we're staying in an Airbnb with friends. And so we didn't really use any points on that trip, but I just try to look at it not as all or nothing. If you pay for some of your cruise payments, you know, with points, you're ahead. If you pay for some of it with cash, just consider that you hacked part of it. So I think there's a lot of different ways to do it.
Absolutely. That is such a good point too, because a lot of people are very into like the all or nothing thinking, where every time we say, oh, you kind of get to travel for free with points and miles, people are like, oh, it's not really free because you had to pay like $5.60 for the taxes and fees. And to those people on the internet, I'm just like, do you really want to rain on this parade? They just saved $600. But okay, there's always those people on the internet who are saying, well, I'm going to nitpick at this because it's not totally free. So we might as well, I guess, not do this and not save $600. People on the internet are weird.
That's why I called my account Almost Free Traveling. I knew that someone was going to say, it's not totally free. So I just put it in the name. Now they can't say that.
That's a really good way to get around it, where you're like, it's the brand, yeah. Almost mm-hmm. free.
I told cool. you up front.
That is awesome. That's an awesome name for a blog. So as we wrap up here, with all of the knowledge that you've done from the research on how to do this cruise hack, which is fantastic, and everything you've learned about how to travel and offset the travel costs while you're on a nonprofit salary, what would you say is your number one piece of travel hacking advice for listeners today?
When I first looked into this and I realized that credit card bonuses existed and that I could use them for travel, I thought, why isn't everyone doing this? This opportunity is sitting there for the taking. If you have the credit score and the regular spend, why not go for it? Why not try it? And so I encourage everyone just to at least try one card, try a Sapphire Reserved, or try, if there's an airline you're flying regularly, open that airline card, take a baby step, see how it goes. And I always say, you know, my husband is really conscientious about finances and scams and things like that. If he is willing to do it, it is a very safe, wise, lucrative thing to get into.
Wise words. I always mention whenever someone's like, oh, is this like a safe thing to do? I'm like, well, we've got dozens of people on this podcast who attest that they've done it and bad things haven't happened to them. So there's that. Also thousands of other people on the internet.
Yes, absolutely. Make a spreadsheet, keep track of your payments, pay off your card, be a responsible person like you are in other areas of your life. And this will be a lucrative option for you.
Awesome advice. And speaking of awesome advice, can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet who you love going to for points and miles travel tricks?
So I want to give a shout out to Travel Hacking Mom. And this speaks to something. So I'm a creative freelance writer, communications professional. So starting an Instagram account was fun and easy. And also my friends were always asking, how do you travel so much? How do you afford it? So this was also, here's how I afford it. Everyone can follow and know. What I didn't know was that there would be this whole community of travel hackers on Instagram. And it was such a surprise to step into that community and find everyone to be really generous and helpful and just journeying together using credit card points and miles. I have loved it so much. It's like an unexpected virtual community I didn't have before. And I want to say, Travel Hacking Mom, Alex at Travel Hacking Mom, you have been so generous with everything, with your knowledge, with your account, doing a giveaway with me. And so I want to give a shout out to Alex. She really is an expert. I learn from her all the time. You know, I don't position myself as an expert because I feel like I'm just learning all the time things I didn't know. Alex is someone I look to all the time to see what cards is she opening? How is she strategically transferring miles, using miles, earning miles? And I'm learning new things from her all the time. So kudos to Alex at Travel Hacking Mom.
That's such a nice shout out. So Alex was on episode 29, Alex and Pam, so along with her mom. So check out that episode if you want to hear more from them and how they started their blog and have gone viral multiple times on Instagram and have grown so much. Cool. And where can we find you on the internet?
So a few different places. The name is Almost Free Traveling, and I'm on Instagram at Almost Free Traveling. I have a Facebook page at Almost Free Traveling that has a group that I'd love for you to join. It's a learning group, and my vision is that it will be a place where we can all collaborate together on hacking to Disneyland using points and miles. Then I also have a blog that I'm writing on more and more, almostfreetraveling.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the show. We have learned so much today. This is a fantastic strategy about how you can go on a cruise for almost no money, because that's one of, I would say, the most difficult parts of travel hacking is whenever somebody's saying, well, how do I go on a cruise? Because I know how to do flights and I know how to do hotels, but how do I go on a boat? And there's not some kind of outsized redemption. There's no good award chart where we say, oh, you just go to this website and use your Hyatt points. That doesn't really exist with cruises. So the strategy that you've laid out today has been fantastic, as well as your strategies for Airbnb and how to offset flights with just doing work travel and lots of other things like that. So thank you so much, Samantha, for coming onto the show. We've learned so much today.
Thanks for having me. I've learned from you too, and I do every episode. So love following along.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!